number 7. It's very rude to call someone a troglodyte.
Please stop calling us that, Missy, Erica said. My friends are not troglodytes.
It makes Erica very upset that her sister calls us troglodytes. But it doesn't really bother me, since none of us lives in a cave. Although the fact that only one of us has a cell phone does make us a bit old-fashioned. And that's the definition of a troglodyte, which we'd once looked up. An old-fashioned hermit who lives in a cave. Although it's very rude to call someone a troglodyte. That's a rule.
Whatever you say, Trog, Missy said. Why are you wearing one of John's flannel shirts?
If you must know, Erica said stiffly, it's because we're going to Honey Pot Prairie tomorrow, and we're trying to come up with some homemade period costumes so we can get extra credit.
And that's what you came up with? Missy sneered through her headgear. Jeans and one of your brother's shirts? Why don't you come to me about these things, Trog? I've been to Honey Pot Prairie, you know. It's completely boring, but at least I know of a great homemade period costume that won't make you look like a Trog.
We all stared at Erica's sister. Missy is a very, very talented gymnast. But as a teenager, she can also be a bit moody. Also, somewhat devious.
Like what? Caroline asked suspiciously.
Missy shook her head at us.
It's called a nightgown with one of Mom's aprons over it, right? Because nightgowns are like long dresses, and with an apron over one, you look exactly like one of those prairie ladies. Missy sighed. What would you trogs do without me? I honestly don't know.
Then she did a back handspring out of Erica's room and into the hallway.
I'm sorry. Erica looked at all of us with tears in her eyes after her sister was gone. I don't know why she's so mean. My mom says it's her hormones and we should just be patient. But honestly, I don't know if I...
Wait, Caroline said. Her idea is sort of genius.
A nightgown? Sophie laughed. You can't wear a nightgown to school. There are boys there. You can't wear a nightgown in front of boys. That's just wrong.
Erica flushed. Sophie's right. I could never wear a nightgown to school.
But the apron covers everything up, I said, agreeing with Caroline that the idea was kind of genius. It's not like anyone can see anything or even tell it's a nightgown.
It's better than anything else we've come up with, Caroline said mournfully. But I don't even own a nightgown. All I have are PJs.
You can borrow one of mine, I said. My grandma sends me a flannel Lands of Salzburg nightgown every year for my birthday and Christmas. Not that this was what I had ever asked for. Grandma was just afraid I might catch a cold from a draft because this was very common when she was a girl, and now we live in such an old house.
My mom doesn't have any aprons, Sophie said.
My mom has tons, Erica said. You can each borrow one.
I can't believe we're going to wear nightgowns to school, Sophie said, shaking her head in disbelief.
If we wear leggings under them, I said, and t-shirts, it won't be any different than regular clothes, so who cares?
Erica took us downstairs to the kitchen, where her mom keeps all her aprons. She did have a ton, and most of them did look pretty old-timey. After calling Mrs. Harrington at her shop to make sure it was okay, we picked out the ones we liked most. Then I went home to hunt through my closet for nightgowns that would look the most 1850s. I didn't ask if Caroline wanted to come with me to choose one. Sophie and Erica both said they had their own nightgowns, on account of my house being a complete disaster area. That's because Mr. Johnson and all his roofing guys were there, stomping around on the roof, ripping off shingles. There were ladders leaning up against the house, and Kevin and Mark were running around the front yard trying to help. Only I didn't know how much help they were being.
Allie,
Kevin said to me, wearing his hard hat, which was way too big for his head, all wobbly.
Don't even bother asking Mom and Dad if you can go up on the roof, because they just made that a new rule. No Finkel kid can go on the roof.
Well, I have no desire to go on the roof, I said. So that's not going to be a problem.
I went inside and upstairs to my room and started sorting through my nightgowns. I tried to think what I'd want to be seen in at school and what I wouldn't mind Mary Kay and those guys seeing me in. It was kind of a hard decision, especially with all the stomping coming from up on the roof.
and my brain kind of distracted by the whole thing with Mrs. Hunter and her boyfriend, which was still bothering me, at least a little. I knew from the pictures we'd seen that girls' dresses from those days wouldn't be too fancy, like lacy and stuff, because all the early settlers were very poor and couldn't afford lace, which was expensive back in those days. An early settler, for instance, wouldn't have been able to call to order a pizza for dinner when she was tired out from a long day of going to school and finding out her teacher might be getting married. First of all, because there were no phones, much less cell phones, back in the 1850s. And second of all, because there was no such thing as pizza delivery men, or even pizza, back then. The early settlers had to make all their own food from scratch. Teachers couldn't even have had big bunches of roses delivered to them at school from their boyfriends back in those days because there were no flower delivery men or delivery vans. The kids of early settlers were kind of lucky in that way. I had finally settled on a red nightgown with blue stripes and yellow flowers on it for me, and a blue nightgown with red stripes and white flowers on it for Caroline, when I realized something was missing. And it wasn't the cell phone I, unlike the early settlers, had enough money to buy but wasn't allowed to have either. "Musy," I said, looking around my room. It isn't unusual for my cat, Musy, not to come right away when I call. Even though he's an indoor cat, so far, he'd really, really like to go outside, but I made a rule that he wasn't allowed to and that everyone in my family had to be very careful not to let him outside because he could be hit by a car or get lost. He sometimes wanders very far away from my room and curls up and falls asleep in weird places and doesn't hear me when I call him. But this time, when I went to look for him in all of the usual places, like on top of my mom's shoes in her closet or in the planter in the living room, Musy was nowhere to be found. Suddenly, all of the bad things that had happened to me lately, like being called irresponsible and not being allowed to get the cell phone I'd always wanted, or that I was going to have to ride the bus to Honeypot Prairie with my ex-best friend, Mary Kay, or that my favorite teacher might be moving away and getting married, seem not to matter at all anymore. The truth is, nothing else matters when you realize you might have lost the one thing you care about more than anything else in the whole world.